We come now to our readings in the Word of God. First, from Hebrews chapter 11, reading the opening verses of that chapter, and then turning back to Genesis chapter 4 and reading of that chapter. Will you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Hear the Word of God. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gift, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith alone. And then turning back to Genesis chapter 4. I am going to read the entire chapter in spite of what I had put in the bulletin. Please listen again to the Word of God. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground, and now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. When he built a city, he called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad fathered Mahujael, and Mahujael fathered Methusael, and Methusael fathered Lamech, and Lamech took two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. Adah bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the lyre and pipe. Zillah also bore Tubal-Cain. He was the forger of all instruments of bronze and iron. the sister of Tubal-Cain, was Naama. Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. You wives of Laman, listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold. And Adam knew his wife again. She bore a son, called his name Seth, for she said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. To Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. The Word of God. Genesis chapter 4. What is it about? The focus of our attention so often is that dramatic moment when Cain kills Abel. And indeed, it does show us the extreme of the situation that a brother kills a brother. But remember where we are in the history of mankind. Genesis chapter 4, the fourth chapter of the book of beginnings. God had created the heavens and the earth, and all was very good. And he placed the man and the woman in the garden that he had provided for them, with but the one command that they should not eat of a certain tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But they, tempted by the serpent, did eat of that tree, and they sinned. And in their sin, all mankind now is a sinful people. God had said that should they eat, they would die. But God in his grace did not put them to death upon the spot, but rather instead he drove them out of the garden. And even in driving them out of the garden, he was being good to them and gracious to them. For he separated them from the tree of life, which if they had eaten of it at that time, then there would have been no hope for mankind. And also in that moment, God provided for them by providing clothes for them. They had realized their nakedness, their sinful awareness exposed that to them as well. And they had sought to cover themselves with leaves from the trees and the bushes. But God chose instead to take the skin of an animal and provide that as a covering for them. And so as we come to the fourth chapter, we have found that Adam and Eve have been cast out of the garden. And then next, as we read at the beginning of this chapter, we find that mankind begins to multiply, begins to increase its number. And so Adam knew his wife. She conceived, and she bore Cain. The statement that she makes concerning that name that she gives to Cain is that I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. That sentence, that statement that she makes is one that can be somewhat difficult in its translation because of the somewhat cryptic nature that Hebrew sometimes has. And what is evident here is that there is that expectation now that she has. Remember the promise in the garden in chapter 3 and verse 15 was that there would be a seed of the woman that would give victory in this matter of sin and death. And doubtless Eve would have thought, this is it. This is the one. This Cain is the one that I have gotten from the Lord as the provision that he had promised to me. And it's sort of an interesting twist of the history of mankind that Cain is anything but that promised seed. He is rather the continuation of the failure of mankind to be honorable and right before God. She also gives birth to Abel, and we are told that he is a keeper of the sheep, while Cain is a worker of the ground. And then we come really to what is the important thing in this passage. We come to the fact that Cain and Abel bring sacrifices before God. They come to worship God. Now, as any commentator will point out to you, the opening chapters of Genesis are very quick-paced as far as telling us what happens, and especially that is true in here in chapter 4. How is it that Cain and Abel come with these sacrifices? Why does Cain bring the offering of the ground? Why does Abel bring of the firstborn and the fat of his flock? Why is it that they bring a sacrifice at all? Well, it is my opinion and that of many others that what I referred to before of the covering that was provided for Adam and Eve, the covering of the skin of an animal, was actually the first sacrifice that is mentioned in the Scriptures, a sacrifice offered by God Himself, just as the final sacrifice was offered by God Himself. That God, in the provision of those skins to cover Adam and Eve, shed the blood of the animals, and in that foretold the sacrifices which were to come. We're most familiar with the sacrifices as they're described in Exodus and Leviticus and throughout that time when the Israelites were headed for the Promised Land. But clearly there were sacrifices before that. Noah offered sacrifices. Abraham offered sacrifices. We have these sacrifices. And there is something that we see in common among them. There are different sacrifices for different reasons and with different significances. And most significantly, as we read in our New Testaments, there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. And so it is that Abel comes with a sacrifice which, by all standards that we have in the Scriptures, is indeed a better sacrifice. It is one that involves the shedding of blood, for indeed it's a firstling, but with the fat portions gives us that indication of a slaughter of the animal. And so he is offered a proper one. Cain, on the other hand, is offered of the ground, of the products that come from the ground. And yes, there are grain offerings and such in the Scripture, but they're not the offerings of worship and of confession of sin. And so it would seem that this is a possible way to see why there was a difference. But to just say that Abel did it right and Cain did it wrong is not sufficient here in light of what we are told elsewhere in Scripture. Because what we're told, as we read in Hebrews chapter 11, is that Abel offered his sacrifice in faith. It was because Abel was a man of faith and offered his sacrifice as such that his was the acceptable sacrifice. Cain's was not a sacrifice of faith. Whatever it was that he offered was not offered as an act of faith. And here we have to see, as if you look closely at Hebrews 11:4, you will notice that it is the act that describes the faith. It is because of what Abel did. And that's why I went to the extent I did in telling you that Abel's was indeed the better sacrifice by what standards we see in Scripture. Abel did, as I would see it, what God had told them they should do for sacrifices, and Cain did not. God, in his evaluation of this, will say similar things. As we look at this and see that God had no regard for Cain's offerings, as our translation says. We're told that Cain was very angry and his face fell, but then we have the question from God. Why are you angry? Why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. An indication that Cain, in doing what he did not do what he knew was the right and proper thing to do. He did not follow the way that God had called him to live. We do many things in our lives, doing the best we can in many circumstances. We need to do it as in a way that says we want to do it pleasing God. Abel was one who did so. Cain did not. Now, what happens if we don't do that which is right? I believe that is here in this passage as well, because that's what God is saying. Why are you angry? Why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? What does Cain have there as posed to him by God but an opportunity of repentance, of doing what is right? He has the opportunity to confess his failure before God. And thank God we are often given those opportunities. As someone may challenge us in what we have done, or as we might read the Word, or even just in our own biblical consciousness, we come to realize that we have not done what is right and pleasing before God. So we can repent and confess, even as we have done in this hour of worship, acknowledging that we have not loved God with all our heart, soul, and mind. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We come confessing that, and God receives us. Abel, as it were, I believe we can say, came initially with that confession, with that acknowledgement, offering the sacrifice that was acceptable to God because he believed that God required from him an appropriate sacrifice. Cain gives up that opportunity, and rather instead he goes the way of wickedness. He does not repent of what he has done. He does not turn to the way that is right and good, but rather he takes a step further in the direction of sin and rebellion against God. Clearly, God in the Scriptures is identified as the God of life. Later in the times of Noah, it will be declared that those who take the life of a man must lose their life. Here is Cain in that situation. He takes the life of his brother. We can be appalled by the fact that indeed these seem to be the first two of Adam and Eve's children. These should have been the brothers who were closest to one another. And yet the one kills the other. Not only does he kill his brother, he does it trying to be secretive about it, just getting rid of his brother. But God comes and approaches him. And it's pretty amazing to me that when God says to him, "Where is Abel, your brother?" God, of course, knows what has already happened. That Abel, knowing what he knows of God at that point in history, says, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" You might note that actually that's the first lie by a man recorded in the Scripture. "I don't know." It's also the first question posed by a man. "Am I my brother's keeper?" Sort of a sad way for us to begin in our dialogue with God in the history of mankind. God, of course, as I said, knows the answer to his question, and so we have that phrase, which we'll see again this evening, by the way. "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." God knew what had happened. He pictures the blood of Abel as crying out. And for what does that blood cry? But for justice. For Cain to bear the punishment for his sin. Adam and Eve had sinned, and God cast them out of the garden. Cain sins now in a most grievous way, and God casts him out even further. For now he is cursed from the ground. It's not just the ground that is cursed, but you are cursed from the ground. And also, it will not yield to him. And then finally, he will be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. He is not only cast out of the garden and left in the world that God has created, but he is even an outcast in the world in which we live. Indeed, it may seem a little strange when you get down to verse 16 and it says that he went out from the presence of the Lord and he settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. But if you knew what the word Nod meant, you would say, oh, okay, because the word Nod means wandering. So the picture here that we have is that Cain goes out and he has no place to go. It is as that story of a generation or so ago of a man without a country. No place to go. Couldn't go home. There was no home. He is an outcast. Now I might point out to you that indeed the family of Cain is here pictured for us, most particularly in this Lamech, who aggravates even more what has happened in the line of Cain, as he takes credit, boasts even, of having killed someone. But do notice that that's the end of what is recorded of the history of the line of Cain. It's sort of almost an interruption here, but it's typical of the biblical style that you see the genealogy or some record of those who are evil or wicked or are unimportant to the covenant history that God has provided. And then God returns once again to the line of promise. So Cain has killed his brother. God has cast him out into the land of wandering. God has now shown clearly that there is a division in mankind between those who will serve him and those who will not. Those who will offer acceptable sacrifices and those who will not. Mankind will continue in that division, even though, if you know your Bible, you know that the line of Cain will some very short time later come to its end. For in the days of Noah there will be a flood, and the only ones who will survive that flood are Noah and his immediate family. And yet, even after that, of course, once again, there will be this division. Those who will follow after the Lord and those who will not. And we will come down to the days of Abraham. And Abraham will be chosen out from among the nations. And out of Abraham, from Abraham, will eventually come that promised seed of the woman. You and I are confronted in this passage of Scripture with the reality that we should offer an acceptable sacrifice, a sacrifice to which God will give regard, to which he will pay attention, to what will please him. And with the help of Hebrews 11, I believe we are reminded and have made clear to us that it is as those who believe and trust in God that we are able to offer those sacrifices. We're all here gathered in this room this morning. We have sung some real praise hymns together this morning. The question would be, have you offered a sacrifice of praise to God? Have you offered an acceptable sacrifice to him? If not, will your response be that of Cain? Will you turn away? Or will you turn back to God, confessing your sin and receiving his gracious forgiveness of your sin and being able to continue on as one of his people. God is faithful. In all that he does, he is faithful. We are amazed in the plan that he had for this world as it is revealed to us in the chapters of Genesis and all the way through to the book of Revelation. As we've seen it fulfilled to a great extent in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, with great anticipation, we look forward to his coming again. We are a people greatly blessed by God in this generation as we see what he has done for us and his faithfulness through the generations. And so it is, as the fourth chapter of Genesis ends, we are reminded that God is one who keeps his promises. For the conclusion after that discussion with Cain, after that boasting of Lamech, is that then suddenly we are told, Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For she said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. And then the encouraging words, to Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. And at that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. Genesis chapter 4 is a terrible chapter where a brother kills a brother. But it is also a glorious chapter as it calls us to worship the God who has created us and who has redeemed us in Jesus Christ. A God who, in the midst of the sinfulness of man, continues to be faithful to us. And even as in that day he raised up Seth to carry on the line that would eventually produce the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ, so even today he is faithful to us, and he will continue to fulfill his promises, for all his word is sure. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we would offer to you in this time and at all times sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving that we desire to be pleasing before you. We would offer them up in faith. Indeed, in our way, we would offer them up in the name of Jesus Christ. We would offer up ourselves as those who are redeemed, those who are cleansed from our sin and unrighteousness, who have now that righteousness of Jesus Christ, even as we read earlier in Corinthians. We pray, O God, that you would be with us in this day and the days to follow, that we might walk faithfully with you. We thank you that when we fail, when we sin, when we rebel, you are gracious to us and receive us as we come to you in Jesus' name. And you receive us. Lord, we thank you for the perfect sacrifice that Jesus has made for us, the offering up of his own blood, his own body, that our sins might be taken away, that our lives might be made new, that we might have life everlasting. Bless us, O God, to the glory and praise of your name, we ask. Amen.